Hey, everybody, guys. Strew Man here, the Four Outdoorsman. We are going to laugh and learn tonight. I'll tell you what, it's all a deer hunting show. When Boomer was on our team, he would always start the show with the 30-point buck. Remember that? And laugh about that. But but we're going to have some fun on the Four Outdoorsman. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And I don't know. Every day's a gift. Every day's a gift. Strew Man got lucky today, had a deer.
It's a heck of a deer.
Yeah, heck of a deer, yeah. But it's been fun. Steve Strusinski here. Sam Oftedal. Mark Lukey. And Brandon, behind the glass, is our fourth outdoorsman. Boy,
and tell Nick. You what.
And Nick? Yeah, Marky's little kid, Nick, is there. Nick, I know you're not going to say anything. Just wave to me, okay? Oh, that a boy. Marcel Marceau. Marcel Marceau is on the air. God almighty. But, hey, now, you got what's new with you? You went hunting this morning as well, right?
Yeah, I was out this weekend. It sure was windy out there.
And warm, boy.
It was.
Warm.
Yeah. One of my buddies posted a picture on Facebook of in his blind with his feet out the blind with no shoes, no socks
on. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
that's funny.
It was warm.
Yeah. Mark, how about you? What happened with you this week? Anything special besides your anniversary?
Happy anniversary. Happy 12 years to my lovely wife, April. Yeah. I know she's listening
happy
with my boys.
Happy anniversary to...
Hi, Sam. Hi, Max. I love you guys. Yeah, we went to Red Wing, Minnesota Friday night. I made the outdoorsman mistake of getting married on deer hunting opener 12 years ago.
Oh, did you?
But it was...
How'd that work out?
It's worked out okay because I usually go after opener. It's a little quieter. But that was the only weekend our church was open for a whole year. And I wanted to get married to that hot little lady.
Well,
there.
Those shotgun weddings, you know, you gotta take them when you can, you know.
My dad, my birthday is obviously in the hunting season too, and it was the only opener my dad missed was when I was born, and then they just went second weekend, so he feels your pain. But
yeah, it's all good. I had a great time. Went to Red Wing, Minnesota. Went to the St. James Hotel, which is a
beautiful
historic place.
Absolutely beautiful.
Down by the river there. We walked the river the next day. My sister, thank my sister for watching the kids. Had a great time. Don't get away very much nowadays.
Did you scale the cliff?
Yeah, the bluff.
I did not. I saw it, and I'm like, that must be the cliff that he climbed.
That's the bluff, you bet.
No way.
No, he sat out there with a couple of cocktails and said, nah, that ain't for me.
I probably saw 100 fishermen fishing on Saturday morning.
Oh,
it was crazy.
Really?
For everyone that hasn't put their boat away, they were out on the river, man.
I've seen a lot of golfers, too.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I golfed. What day is today? Today's Sunday.
Today's Sunday. We have the show every Sunday night.
I think I golfed Thursday or Friday with Rocket Man. It may have been Saturday. No, it had to be Friday. Bob Creech, a good friend of mine. And we golfed Lake Phelan, and there's a city course in St. Paul. And it was the first course I ever played in grade school. L. Man Jean and I, my kidney friend, he and I would ride our bikes out there. And we would get out there early, like 5 o'clock in the morning. And if you got past the ninth hole before the golf course opened up, you played for free because you just booged home. You know, we did that quite a bit. So I shot a 46 the front nine and a 39 the back nine.
Wow.
And that's my best, what's that, 85? That's my best round of golf the entire year. And, of course, like anything else, you know, it makes you want to do more when the season's over. So
you travel, though. You go down south in
December
winter.
7th, the boys and I are going down to Arizona.
The worst thing about fall golf, I love golf. You know, obviously the weather is beautiful in the fall, but if you hit anywhere into the rough, every leaf looks like the ball.
Yep. Yeah.
Agreed.
But I tell you what, hit the ball in the middle of the fairway, you have no problem.
But then they wouldn't call me Scrambling Sam.
I guess not, yeah. Yeah. I got a couple of jokes about that. Yeah. But, it's been a fun week. It's the weather's been great. I love this weather. Amber and I, my granddaughter Amber, sweetheart, how are you? And my wife Diana at home. Diana's making pierogies today.
Pierogies.
She's been working since 9 o'clock making pierogies, so she recruited my granddaughter Amberly, our granddaughter Amberly, to spend the day and spend the night and help Grandma. And I'm not sure how well it's going, but they're having a good time. But she came over. We walked the woods across the street from my house today and didn't see any deer there, but the weather is gorgeous. It's just this is for me. I could use this 9 months out of the year.
I like it, but not on
deer hunting opener, yeah.
Bitch.
Last year was really cold. I remember that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You were sick. You weren't a host yet, but you let me hunt your land up north. And I froze my butt off, man.
It was cold. I remember that.
2 years ago, it was really warm. It's crazy. This time of year, it can be 65 or it can be 20 degrees.
Tuesday's going to be the day.
Yeah, I talked to my friends up in Ely, Minnesota at the Polish Palace. There's 5 of them up there on the way home right now. Hi, guys, Troy and Jackson and Drew and everybody else who was up there. But they said it was just nothing. It was just so windy and warm and warm and warm. Nothing was happening. So, but there's that's why they call it hunting and not
Yep.
Boy, killing.
I'm sure your guys are the same because we have the same group of friends, but when you're scrolling Facebook on deer opener, it's just deer after deer monster after monster after monster. You're just like,
well, you know, there's somebody in this room that got a nice deer this morning.
You got a trophy deer. Do you want to go into the story now, or you want to save it for the second segment?
We'll save it for the second segment, but it was an interesting story, and I'm excited about it. And Sam and I talked about this before the show. It's a great experience. I think I did the right things to make that happen, to be part of making that happen. But you have no idea what's going to walk in front of you.
Yeah.
You just don't. You don't. You can do all the cameras and food plots and tracking and hunting and for weeks and weeks and weeks. If the big one's there, you still need some help and need some luck, and it
happened
today.
Can't predict the animals.
No, but and I haven't had a deer in quite a few years. I haven't been excited about walking in the woods until my son Mike bought the acreage in North Branch, and Sam's got the stuff in East Bethel. So it's nice having friends and family who has stuff.
Yes,
because Ely's a long ways away, and there's more wolves up there than whitetail these days. But the guys who were up the hunting shack this week said they saw 9 deer from 169 to the hunting shack on Mud Creek Road. So things might be turning around up there. So that's a lot of fun.
There are a lot of wolves. I had on my camera in Mora. I've never had a wolf on camera until the night before opener. I didn't go up there, though, but our buddy Thane went up there. And within 1 week, on the same camera, I had a picture, no deer, and I think it's because I had a picture of a bear, a bobcat, and a giant wolf in 1 week.
All on the same trail camera?
All on the same trail camera.
Wow.
It was a big wolf, too. Really big.
That's a lot of predators.
It is.
How big do wolves get?
Big. They can get over 100 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
What do they taste like? Eagle?
It's kind of like a really tough horse meat.
That's what.
Hey, I hate to break up the flow here, boys, but Strew, you gave me a wrong number again, so if you can look into that, I'll be in there in a second to get the accurate number.
You're a nice man. All right.
You can go in there, Strew, if you want. We can handle it.
Yeah.
No, you guys need me, man.
So we kind of made an executive decision that we were going to hunt Monday and Tuesday with us, but tomorrow is supposed to be warm and rainy with thunderstorms. So Tuesday looks fantastic. So maybe we're going to switch it to Tuesday.
Yeah, I think Tuesday is going to be the day. We had this warm, and then now we're having a cold front coming in right on that cold front right after a storm. Plus we have some snow happening on Tuesday. It's like a Christmas miracle.
Deer hunting feels weird when there's a little snow on the ground. You know what I mean?
It feels like you're jacked up the whole time.
It doesn't feel right when it's 65.
Right. When I'm bow hunting or hunting and when it's warm, or shotgun hunting, I mean bow hunting or shotgun hunting while it's warm, I only get excited until the sun goes down. Like that's when I get excited. The wind stops. It's quiet. Yep. And the cool breeze hits. But when there's snow on the ground, like I'm like white knuckled the whole time looking around. It's awesome. Well, plus you can see further.
This is your first full year hunting, right?
On this property? Yeah, on the new one, yep.
And you put a lot of work into it, man.
A lot.
You have 3 stands. You have food plots. You have everything.
I have 3 enclosed blinds. They're all 10 foot up.
Are they heated?
Heated. Wow. Yes, sir. Heated, carpeted.
And I got good friends, Drew.
Yes, you do. I've got a cabin in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. You need nothing.
Oh, that's crazy. And all right, we got our guests on.
6 portables, too.
Alex. Alex, are you there?
I am here.
Alex Mix Stott, M-C-S-T-O-T-T. What nationality is that?
That is Irish.
I love Irish, man. I like Jameson.
I like Jameson as well.
Yeah, Alex Mix Stott, I'll tell you what, this is the 4 Outdoorsmen, thanks for being on the air. And the whole show tonight is about deer hunting. And I saw a post or Facebook and maybe Outdoor News or something where I know you are an avid, avid deer hunter. And you got your first deer when you were about 13 years old. And you finally got your second deer. And it's a big deer 20 years later. Tell us what happened between 13 and 20 years and how this happened.
So I shot my first deer with a bow when I was 13 or 14, like you said, Strew, and it was a little button buck, and I was pumped, you know, 14 with a bow. I was just ecstatic.
Was that a recurve back then, or was that a compound bow
nope,
back then?
It was a compound back then.
He's not that old.
I'm that old. Go ahead, Alex.
So I got that button buck, and I told myself, you know what? I want to shoot a nice buck with my bow. So that's the goal I set for myself, and I've had a lot of shot opportunities over the years on smaller bucks and does, but I held out for a nice one, and I was rewarded Friday morning with a beautiful 10.
I saw the photograph. So you literally telling me that for the last 18 to 20 years, you have hunted every year, and you've done your due diligence and scouting and whatnot, and must have trail cameras out there and whatnot, and you have hunted every year and have turned down deer for the last 20 years, 19 years until a couple of days ago.
Correct. With my bow, I have. I shot a few nice deer with my shotgun because we're a shotgun zone where I hunt over the last 20 years, but with a bow, I was just being choosy, and I was rewarded.
Well, I tell you what, I respect that because I don't think, I mean, Sam might. Sam's to my left. My buddy Mark Lukey is to his left. I don't think Mark and I could wait that long.
I mean, you know, I've been close, man. Yeah. I haven't shot a deer in 7 years.
Yeah,
or something.
So that takes it takes discipline, and it takes more than what I would have to not pull the trigger, not draw the bow back. But tell them, you didn't. Where do you hunt, by the way?
I hunt just south of St. Cloud.
Oh, so you're right in our zone here. You're about 15, yep. 20 minutes away from Bob FM and Ramsey. You told me this afternoon something as great as well, because this is exciting for both you and your dad. Who helped you track that deer, and how did that go?
So I shot the deer, and I went and tracked him on my own, found him. And I decided that I was going to play a little, not joke, but kind of build the excitement up for my dad. So I went back and got him and told him that I shot. I didn't tell him that I found it already. So he was asking me questions, how confident I was on the shot and how far it ran, et cetera, et cetera. So we started tracking. And by the way, if you ever need help tracking a deer, do not ask my dad, because he is colorblind and he can't see blood. So he was just more along for the ride.
So you should go ahead.
And I tracked him until I saw him up on a hill, and I asked my dad, I said, well, I think he went this way because the leaves are kicked up. And he goes, well, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure. What do you think? And he came walking up by me, and I pointed, and I said, I think he went that way. And right when I pointed, my dad saw the deer laying there on the side hill in the sun, and he got emotional and couldn't believe that I shot him the day before shotgun opened, and yeah. We had a big hug, and it was just a really cool experience, and that's a memory that I'm going to cherish for the rest of my life.
That's what it's all about, man, hunting with family, and it's more than just killing an animal.
Now, if you're as smart as I think you are, you haven't even told your father that you played such a trick on him, have you?
I did, and he had some choice words for me when I told him that I was leading him on.
That's wonderful. So you're saying if you wouldn't have gotten a deer with your bow the day before shotgun, which was Friday, and you go through the shotgun season for a couple of weeks, would you be done bow hunting for 2020, or would you finish the season up in late November and December?
I would most likely be done bow hunting and deer hunting for the year, because by the time shotgun rolls around, I got my mind on early ice walleyes.
Boy, oh boy, I tell you what, why don't you just drive down to Ramsey, Minnesota here and come into Bob and just talk with us, because you're the kind of guy we want in the studio.
I'd love to.
Yeah. Well, we'll get you on the air, man. You're not that far away, but you like to ice fish, you like to hunt, you like to bird hunt, you do it all.
I do it all.
Boy, good for you, man. I tell you what, congratulations on the big buck. We'll try to post it for you as well, but it's a beautiful story, it's a fun story, and again, I respect you for your discipline. Go catch some walleyes. We'll stay in touch, and we'll talk about ice fishing here in a couple of weeks as well, if that's okay with you.
That worked for me, Stu.
You take care, buddy.
Congratulations.
Right. Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
That is cool. Should we do shout-outs
while
we got it going on here? Lots of shout-outs from everyone. Thank you for writing in. If you go to our 4 Outdoorsmen, that's the number 4 Outdoorsmen Facebook page, and comment every week, and give us a like and follow or whatever while you're on there, because we love to hear from you guys. I have a bunch of shout-outs here. Thank you. Brian Amberg says, we didn't get any deer, but I did get this spike to lay down in front of me for 3 hours. That's happened to me before. That's kind of fun. Ron Nielsen said, opening morning, but with my bow. That's a beautiful deer, Ron. Corey Bechtold says, shout-out to McScotter on this awesome deer. I was product testing today More to come on Wirt's Working Now Facebook page. So he's still out fishing. Bill Katz says, good spot for my rifle this weekend. Maybe next week I'll take it off the hook. Craig Rudolph Jr. says, slow for us. My cousin shot a nice doe this morning. Jesse Coscanini says, it's slow here. Not many deer, too many wolves. Corey Johnson with a beautiful, beautiful buck picture there. And Alicia Ann says, missed you last weekend by a couple minutes, so I'll send it this week. Hometown Hero Outdoors got three members on 11-1 for a pheasant hunt in Appleton, Minnesota, and shot 12 birds.
Nice. That's wonderful,
so
yeah.
So thank you, everyone, for writing in.
Hey, go ahead, Sam.
I was going to say thanks for everyone who liked and commented on the birthday post yesterday. It meant a lot to me, so
happy
appreciate
birthday.
It.
That was Friday?
Yesterday.
Was your birthday? Yesterday?
Yep.
And that is what year?
Are you? It's 2020.
No, are you 40?
I'm 31.
Oh, come on, man. How old are you? 39? You're 38? Well, how old are you?
I'm 31, it's true.
He is 31, you guys. He is 31. Hey, wow. You're talking about predators earlier about the stuff that was on your property. I was walking into the woods this morning, and it reminded me of Ralph Duran. This is a true story. It's dark. I got out there to Mike's property at about 6:15 and started doing my thing, getting to where I wanted to be. Don't know the land that well. I got into the woods, and it was still dark, 6:45. It had to be a coyote. It was taking down a rabbit, and it was screaming, and Ralph Durer knows what he's doing. It was freaky, man. It was freaky.
It sends, shivers down your spine.
Oh, God almighty. That was crazy. But, yeah. Hey, we got another special guest later on. We're going to talk deer hunting, the second section with the boys here. And then we got a young man named...
Corey? What is it? Cleok?
Nah, Klosik, I think it is.
Klosik.
What about Corey? What's special about Corey?
Corey shot a nice 10-point buck yesterday on opener.
Good.
And while he was tracking it, he shot an alligator.
In the state of Minnesota.
State of Minnesota.
We'll be right back, you guys.
You're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen, part of Bob Outdoors.
Hey, Strewman here for Devil's Lake Tourism. It's not a secret that Devil's Lake is known for fantastic fishing, but now is the time for you to double up with your annual Cast and Blast. Devil's Lake is also known for some of the best bird hunting in this country, so hey, you can shoot a few pheasants in the morning and maybe catch a few walleyes in the afternoon. That, my friends, is just about the perfect day. Hey, bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your family. For more information, simply go to devilslakend.com. Hey, and thanks.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsmen like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
What does that Ski-Doo feeling sound like?
Woohoo!
Whoa, dude, I love that thing.
Oh, that was awesome.
Hey, let's go again.
Yeah, it sounds a little something like that. And now you can get that Ski-Doo feeling during our Yellow Tag event. On now, visit Power Lodge in Ramsey and get up to $1,500 off select 2020 Summit A50 E-Tech models. Offer ends October 31st, 2020. Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on creditworthiness. See dealer for details.
If your furnace or AC rolls over, it's time to call the top dog, Dazeal Heating and Air Conditioning. With fast emergency service, when you call, we come running. Our experts are well-trained and lead the pack in residential furnace and AC repair and replacement. We always listen and work to assure your family's safety. Plus, easy available financing means there's no runaround. Dazeal Heating and Air, the homeowner's best friend. Serving Wright County and the West Metro. Online at DazeelHVAC.com.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved, made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
'Tis the season of camping, boating, and fishing, and you don't want to be left out because your trailer's broken. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove can fix it and get you back to the outdoors. Crystal Welding offers a wide variety of services, including welding, maintenance, and repairs for all types of trailers. Crystal Welding is your one-stop shop for all of your trailer needs. Go to crystalwelding.com for more information. Crystal Welding. Solutions. Service. Results.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No jobs are small because we do it all.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
Maybe it's occasional constipation.
Maybe it's not.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Maybe it's not occasional constipation. Learn more at linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. You may be able to talk to a doctor online. Visit linzess.com, sponsored by Allergan and Ironwood.
Total Country Bob FM.
Welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen. Hey, Mr. Fisher, how are you tonight, sir? Get ready for the Real Talk Outdoors boys right after our show. They have a lot of fun as well. And what?
We should ask Mark if he went hunting.
No, Mark's not a big shot yet. Come on, give him some time. A couple more years in the industry. But they'll be on at 7 o'clock after us guys. And tonight's all about deer hunting. So where do you want to start, boys?
Well, there's only one of us that shot a monster buck.
Well, who this, was that?
This opener. So why
so
don't
it was
you,
2011.
Let's interview you, yeah. And you tell us what happened.
I want to hear about Sam going to confession today first.
No.
No, you don't want to hear that?
No.
Can I tell the story?
Sure.
No. Tell them what happened. This is kind of fun. You went to church today.
Yeah, we went to church. We'd go out to a parking lot mass, and we were talking about call-ins during the break. And so Mark asked if I went – or. Who said, do they have call-ins at Mass? I was like, yeah, I did a live call-in for confession.
Yeah,
yeah. Over the radio.
Over the radio.
But you kind of expanded on that, which was really kind of funny. Yeah, I got a nice deer today. I'll tell you what, it was quite a thrill. My son Mike, if anyone's a regular listener, knows that my son Mike and Erica bought 125 acres in North Branch, and they're working their butts off to get it ready. I mean, they work and work and work and work, and they got the pole barn almost done, and next year hopefully it's going to be a house, and you know, all that kind of stuff. He's got to hire a bunch of people with masks to help him build it. You know what I'm talking about. So he's got all this land, and I had a chance to – I haven't hunted really seriously in probably 5 or 6 years at least.
We went 2 years ago.
Oh, that was a
day. He said seriously.
It was a day and a half. I'll tell you what, when I was growing up in Ely, Minnesota – I'm hunting in Ely, Minnesota from the St. Paul area. We would go – it was like 4 or 5 days, you know, and and there's 8 of us, and it was hardcore stuff, and – it was a lot different than today, and I've done it, you know. I know I quit counting how many deer I got when I was in the 30s, and I just, okay, I've done it. And so it's so much work, and I don't want to drag those damn things out of the woods up over ridges and swamps like I used to and off of Mud Creek Road. But to go to Mike's property and sit for a couple hours, and it's 45 minutes from my house, and like just about your distance from my house, Sam. And so I hunted 3 days with a bow, saw a number of deer. I saw 22 deer one day.
Wow.
That might have been 12. I got one number right. I think it was 12. 10 does and
got the story
and,
right.
Yeah,
the details
yeah.
are
10
off.
10 deer swing.
Yeah.
What do you vote?
Is this the election?
Is it the election right now? There's from 22 to 12.
There's a little computer glitch there or something. But, anyway, but that was 12. But that was a couple of days ago. But not close enough to get anything. But it's just fun to watch. And I just forgot how much fun it is to get in the woods. I just really enjoyed it. And so, of course, rifle open today and shotgun open today. And I asked Mike, do you mind? Because this is his land. He's never even hunted it yet. Really, do you mind if I go out? And he says, yeah, seriously, it's yours. You want to be the first guy to get a deer? Because who knows if anything's going to happen. He says, no. But whatever you do, take a big one. Don't take a 2 or 4 pointer. And you know, because we're going to be here for a long, long time. I'd like to start doing the things that Sam's doing and building up this herd, if that's what you call it. So I went out there this morning at 6:45 with my It's not an 870 Remington. Not even sure what kind
of... It's a 58 Sportsman.
How do you know that stuff, man? You got a good memory. What's that guy's phone number from 2 weeks ago?
763-369-2438.
It probably was. Anyway, so I get out there in the morning. I told you boys, well, as a matter of fact, the screaming of the rabbit, as soon as I walk in the woods, scared the hell out of me. And I've been on this property a couple of times. I'm walking through the woods. I'm not a sitter. I'm just not going to sit in a tree stand for 4 hours and wait for something to go by. I jumped two deer, didn't see what they were. And I
so you ran after them?
No. Yeah. I had an idea. Had an idea of what direction they were going. It was about 7:05 when I jumped those two deer, and I went about 40 yards in front of them, and found a little swale. I'd never seen it before. I went down in the valley.
Found a what?
And a little valley.
What'd you call it?
Swale.
What's a
swale? A swale is a small valley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, look it up. Look up the word valley.
I know you're
a real
English
small
major.
Swale. Look up the word swale. It'll be a very small valley. Anyway, so I've been watching grunting videos and all that kind of thing.
That's gonna be good.
And so I thought
with no call, right?
Well, absolutely. You know,
this is all natural.
It's all natural. I'm Ralph Duran too. There's a movie out. There'll be a video of me doing grunt calls and stuff.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, well, hang on. I'm telling the story. Yeah.
So right. You were in the swell.
I sat swale.
Oh, swale.
I sat
He's
down.
He's in the swill. That's what he was.
Boy,
into.
this was really exciting until you guys jumped in. Can you tell who didn't get a deer this year so far, right? All these a-holes right
okay,
here.
Okay, Mr. Expert, yeah.
keep
going.
No, I'm not an expert. And I got five shots. I've got three slugs in my... two in my pocket and one in the barrel. You know what? I just sat down, and it's about 7:15, and I went, oh, hang on. Hang on. I don't know what that is.
That wasn't bad.
Sounds like a bullfrog.
That's what it is. That's what I was doing. But, I did it for about...
But wise.
But I did that for 10 seconds. I sat back, and... 5 minutes later, this buck came in. I thought, holy, you got to be kidding. But he came from a different direction, I think, and he trotted right in front of me about 45 yards. I got him walking. He never stopped. And I shot through some brush because I got a cannon, you know, one of those slug things. They go through almost anything. I knew I was in the right direction. I never sighted the gun in, nothing. Dropped right there. And it's a 14-point buck.
Wow.
And it dressed out at 210 pounds.
Yeah, it was a beautiful deer.
That's a big deer.
You should be proud of that.
And it was cool because the video I did is on Facebook if you want to follow the Four Outdoors and whatever. Actually did happen. I didn't go down to the deer until I started making the video for the Four Outdoorsmen. You know, I could talk because I already got a deer. I didn't know how big it was or how big the rack was. I knew it was decent until I got to the deer.
So be honest with me, okay?
Yes, sir.
I know your history with doing these videos. Was that a one take?
Yes, it was a one take.
No,
two takes.
I knew it.
That was two takes, I think. Because I think I
was it 12 or 22?
No, it was not more than two.
Did you call Diana to come and record you?
Diana's laughing right now.
Oh,
but I tell you, to walk up to it, and it surprised me as well. I've gotten a couple of big deer in my life. Again, I've had plenty of them, thank God. But to do that at 7:15 in the morning on a property that I'm not familiar with, I'm not in a tree stand, I think I did a pretty good job. And the right deer came the right place at the right time, and it's a beauty. So
I love that. Yeah, like, it was, never hunted it, just showed up.
I love that you shot it in the most true way possible.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You weren't sitting in a stand for
never.
A day, because that's not you.
That's not me.
You like to walk around, and you like to sit, you like to stalk,
yep.
You like to jump stuff, and I'm just happy that you got it in a way that makes you happy.
It actually pisses me off a little bit, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, me too.
Because I put so much time and freaking money into hunting. You bought $5 worth of slugs.
$10.
$10. You didn't even buy a grunt call. You made your own
grunt
call.
I made my own grunt call and the shotgun I got from my son for Christmas about 5 years ago.
Yeah, I'm sure you were wearing Blaze Orange that you've had for a while.
I bought both the Blaze Orange and my hiking boots at Goodwill on Thursday.
How much did you spend there?
$9 for the shoes, but the boots, and my granddaughter Amberly can confirm that. She can verify that because I bragged to her, you don't have to spend $300 to buy stuff. I'm getting texts already from somebody. And probably I spent maybe $25.
Total?
Yeah.
Including the slugs?
$35 then.
Let's throw $7 in, $10 in for gas. So you're in this for $45 and you shot.
How much do you spend on deer hunting, Sam?
A monster.
Oh, I spend that an hour. deer hunting.
So can I hunt on your property now?
Absolutely.
Atta boy. What if I shoot one? Hey, I'm serious.
I love the text you sent us. You sent us this beautiful deer, and he goes, "What do I do now?"
I'm the same feeling.
I'm by myself.
It's been a long time, man.
What do I do?
Well, I've got a lot of deer, and I gutted it out, of course, and I know how to do that. And I tried to drag it to the trail. I got about 2/3 of the way there, and it was way too heavy. And I was going up a couple. So I just said, so I called my son Mike. Hey, what are you doing, pal? He wasn't there. He was at his place in Chisago City or Lindstrom, something like that. And he came out and helped me and brought it to his barn.
Was he pumped?
He was really excited. He was really excited. Mike, he can't wait because that was a deer that no one has seen on anyone's trail cam of all the neighboring properties that he's spoken to. So there's still some big ones out there. I just got right place, right time. But the name of the game here is get in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
Get in the woods. Something's going to happen. And this morning it was beautiful. You know, again, I learned steel hunting from my dad. I don't have the patience to sit for 3-4 hours, but I'll sit for half an hour, get up, move a little bit, 10 minutes, half an hour, find a spot. That's for me. But it was a great experience. Pretty blessed, boy. Pretty blessed.
So bucks must be in the actual rut then, huh?
They're going crazy.
Yeah.
Going crazy.
And this heat is weird, so I feel like they're frustrated even more. So that's why I think this front that's coming in this week is going to be the bomb.
So that's not the end of the story, Stuart. What happens when you get this deer to the trail? What are you going to do with it? How are you going to process it? I'd love to talk a little.
I don't know how we're going to process. Anyways, we get it back to my son's pole barn, and my granddaughter Amberly's with Mike because she's hunted a few times with Mike. He woke her up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they came out, and she was all excited as well. She gets in Mike's skidster. Is that what it's called?
Bobcat.
And I hang on to the antlers as much as I can, and she lifts me up in the bucket 8 feet, 10 feet. And so I already cleaned it out, and he's cleaning it up with water and making sure it's all fresh and all that. And then we hang it into the pole barn. He's got it hanging. Hopefully there's no wolves or anything. Hanging it for about 10 feet in the air or something like that. But it was quite a project. And again, I was thinking, when I'm trying to drag this deer, I never, up in Ely, all my entire years of hunting up there, there was never any four-wheel trails, never any logging roads. When you hunted from, Mark and I were up there a couple of years ago, that deer would have taken us a day to get out of the woods. I just can't picture me doing that anymore. That's a lot of work.
Well, now a lot of people just quarter them out right there.
That's against the rules, isn't it?
Mm-mm.
It's not?
No, you can quarter them out.
I don't know how. Now what do I do?
You don't need to.
That's what he said. He sent this picture. He goes, now what do I do?
Yeah, what do I do? Like, you know,
did you take the tenderloins out right away?
No, because... No. Listen, though. Here. No, here's how I got lucky, okay? So Mike and I...
You shot him out?
No. My...
Probably.
Mike and I bring it back to his barn, and he puts it up in the air and all that. He said, what do you want to do with it? I don't know. We got to bring it to a butcher tomorrow. I didn't think any butchers were open today. Flickers in St. Paul, Wiper Lake was open today. I didn't know that, and they do a lot of deer. And probably the place you were talking about in Lionel Lakes, Circle Pines, was open. What's that place
called?
Yeah,
it's called a sausage house or something. It's kind of by my house.
So my
that
son
place
Mike,
makes good jalapeno brats.
Ooh, that sounds good. So anyway, my son Mike is an animal when it comes to the outdoors. He loves doing stuff. He's very handy, very intelligent, very talented. And he said, tell you what, how about if we just take care of it ourselves, cut the meat ourselves and all that? I said, really? Yeah, well, I'll think about it. Okay, give me a call. If you want me to stop by tomorrow, I'll help you. And he's telling me how we're going to do this, take the hide off and take this meat off. I hear us. So I called him tonight. So what time do you want me to stop over tomorrow morning? I'm almost done. He and a neighbor got together, and the thing is all bones by now, and all the meat's in some place in the freezer. I don't know where we're going to go.
Again, a very true situation. You walk out, shoot a monster deer, your son brings it back, and he's cleaning it for you free of charge.
I love you, Mikey. Atta boy, Mike.
I'm glad he did it tonight, so, because with this heat, you never know.
Mike, you're getting some Slim Jim sticks out of this baby.
So what are we going to do if we shoot a deer?
Well, I don't know. Call Stru. Call Mike.
Yeah, call Mike. Do you always process your own meat?
Yeah.
So you do it like in your garage or something?
Mm-hmm. I could have brought it to your place.
Yeah. Did you notice I went radio silent when you said, Mark, we're cleaning it at your house?
So anyway, it's a great story. It's a big deer. And if I was younger, I'd probably have the full shoulder mount. And have
what does that have to do with your age?
Because I've already done that. My ego's not that big anymore. I guess maybe it is. All right, maybe it is. All right, but I tell you what. But until I think I'll take the head because I still have the head and the hide. I'm gonna put it in my trunk and just had the head out there for about 3 weeks driving around town, you know.
Yeah. I'd ratchet strap it to the hood of your truck and drive it around.
Yeah, that's funny.
Did you used to hang out at the registration centers and just watch all the deer come in? I used to do that with
my dad. Used to love drop. So back in the day at Von Hansen's up here on Highway 10, used to have like a deer shed where that you could drop off your deer. Yeah. They'd process it, and then you'd go tell them what store you were at. You never got your own deer back,
right?
You know, but I used to love going in there. We did the same thing. We'd go for 5 days. There was eight of us. It was, you know, it was more about being in the cabin, being in the woods. But I used to love when we would drop off a deer there, and you'd go and see, you know, 100 deer hanging up. You'd look at the bucks and be like, they do exist. They yeah, do.
All you got to do is look at Facebook, man.
I'm not the only guy in this show, so you guys must have a favorite deer story. Something interesting, funny, successful, or what?
Well, we got about 2 minutes. I don't know if we can
That pretty much
all
sums up my deer hunting.
No, I'm excited. I shot quite a few deer when I was younger. I've never gotten a nice buck in my life. I just never have shot one. I've shot in some I shot a spike when I was like 12, 13. Shot a lot of does, but you know, I'm just really excited to get back out in the woods and give it another shot.
You know, go ahead, Sam. No, you were going to say something.
That was going to be deep right there, what you're about to say, though. Go ahead.
No, I have a story.
Oh, I was just going to say really quick, my favorite memory that I have is bringing my wife hunting for the first time.
That's cool, yeah.
And she only had to sit about an hour. I had this one deer locked down on trail camera every time, you know, it was coming in. And she laid the smack down. It was about probably a 70, 75-yard shot with a 20-gauge slug iron sights.
Yeah.
And it was impressive. It was an impressive shot. That was a lot of fun. I loved seeing her. And it was it ended up being a spike buck. And we cut the horns off, and I cut the skull off, and it is now our Christmas tree topper.
Yeah, that's cool. That's always so. It's a memory, boy. Get outside and make some memories, right?
Yeah.
Hey, do I have 1 minute, minute and a half maybe?
We have about 1 minute.
Yeah. All right, my first year hunting, up in the hunting shack.
I you're asking our stories.
Well, you're done. next week, I hunted with my dad and his brothers-in-law, and there was eight of them, all these old guys up there, probably in the 40s back by then, maybe early 50s. And we get up to the hunting shack on Friday night, and they're having a few cocktails, and there's some arguments going on. They had too much to drink, and everyone went out hunting except my dad early in the morning. And I thought, oh, come on, I'm so excited. You know, the first time you lay in the bunk, you're thinking about what's going on up there. And my dad gets up about 8 o'clock, and I follow him into the woods, and within 7 minutes, he jumps a big old, we call him a swamp buck. And the rack is still on the hunting shack up there. And I watched him drop that deer within 20 minutes of my first deer time ever walking into the woods, which gets you excited. It's kind of like, you know, catching crappies right away instead of waiting for walleyes. It was so exciting. So the next day, my dad says, all right, follow me. You follow me. And I followed him. He said, stay 50 yards behind me, whatever, and follow me. There was snow there. And about 20 minutes later, I see my dad. My brother's behind me. Mark knows the story. I see my brother behind me, my brother Dave. He goes, hey, what the hell are you doing? I says, I'm following Dad. And he says, I am Dad, damn it. you're a little kid walking through the woods, you know. Hey, let's having some fun on the 4 Outdoorsmen. Be right back with Corey.
Yep, Corey.
The alligator hunter. Right back.
Gator man.
You want to be socially distant? Well, Devil's Lake has nearly 170,000 acres. It's been rated one of the top 5 fisheries in all of the United States, and for good reasons. Yep, the fishing itself is Devil's Lake's biggest lure. You get that? But what also keeps bringing vacationers back are the friendly people, the service, the hotels, the restaurants, the outdoor opportunities, the city itself. Hey, trust Struman on this one. Bring your fishing rod. Bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved, made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
If your furnace or AC rolls over, it's time to call the top dog, DeZeal Heating and Air Conditioning. With fast emergency service, when you call, we come running. Our experts are well-trained and lead the pack in residential furnace and AC repair and replacement. We always listen and work to assure your family's safety. Plus, easy, available financing means there's no runaround. DeZeal Heating and Air, the homeowner's best friend. Serving Wright County and the West Metro. Online at DeZealHVAC.com.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company, you can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
There's nothing like a good cup of coffee to start your morning off right. My family and I choose Operator Coffee, not only because it's packed full of flavor, but it's brewed for service. Portions of each bag are donated to a few different nonprofit organizations that bring veterans into the great outdoors. Operator Coffee offers six different small batch roasted flavors. Whether you like light, medium, dark, ground, or whole bean, they have it all. Check it out at operatorcoffee.com. Oh, did I mention it's roasted here in Minnesota? Operatorcoffee.com.
Power Lodge is the official power sports dealer for the Four Outdoorsmen. Open water season is winding down, but that means it's the best time to get great deals on new 2020 boats in stock. New 2021 Lund, Alumacraft, Lowe, Ranger, and Godfrey boats are arriving weekly, which means it's time to move out the 2020s. Save thousands on new 2020 boats during our model year-end sales event. Going on now at all Power Lodge locations, Brainerd, Ramsey, and Onamia.
Jeff Jones here from your No Repeat Workday, and I fell in love with MyPillows the first night that I slept on a MyPillow. And I've been using them for over 5 years at this point, but I'll tell you what. Honestly, it wasn't until I got myself a MyPillow mattress topper that I truly found out how incredible MyPillow really is. So we got our first MyPillow mattress topper while my wife was pregnant, and this was the deciding factor in her actually getting a good night's sleep. They've got a layer of MyPillow foam for support, plus a transitional foam to help relieve pressure points, plus ultra-soft patented temperature-regulating cover. Plus, it comes with a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable, and it's made in the USA, backed by the 60-day money-back guarantee. So I'm going to do your back a huge favor. Right now, 30% off when you use the promo code BOB or call 800-606-7812. Plus, Mike Lindell is going to give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. Again, use that promo code BOB at MyPillow.com or call 800-606-7812. It's that easy to get your best night's sleep.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, nobody has more fun than Strewman, Mark, and Sam on the Four Outdoorsmen, especially when you have a guy like Corey. Hey, Corey, pronounce your last name for us.
It is Klosek.
Klosek. I was close. I said. I said Klosek. Corey Klosek.
That works. Worse.
Yeah, it works. Welcome to the Four Outdoors, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Now, you are a big hunter and fisherman and do everything, don't you?
Yes, sir. I live in the outdoors.
Where do you live right now? What part of the Twin Cities are you
from? I live up in Zimmerman, actually, right now.
Well, hell, you could jog to the studio, man.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, you could. Good. Well, I'll tell you what. This is a great, great story. Sam, you bring him in because you got this guy as a guest. This is a great story.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, Corey. I appreciate you getting back to me this morning. I was sitting in the deer stand and, you know, looking through Facebook feeds, and like Mark was saying earlier in the show, it's all
and
deer.
And wondering why you didn't get a deer, but no,
yeah exactly. I was blaring music,
no.
smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
No, like Mark said earlier on the show, like you scrolling through Facebook on Minnesota Deer Opener weekend, it's all deer, and you know, you kind of end up getting like muscle memory and just skimming past them. I'm like, I went back. I was like, is this guy holding an alligator? And then I Outdoor News actually shared it. And I was like, I didn't even text these boys yet. I messaged you instantly. I was like, you want to be on the Four Outdoorsmen? So we appreciate you coming on. Why don't you give us, you know, first let's talk about the buck. Just give us the whole rundown on how it happened and where it happened.
Absolutely. So a friend of mine, normally I would be hunting with my family. We have land on the east side of Mille Lacs. That we rifle hunt every year. One of the family members in our group got COVID and tested positive this past week. So I was like, nope, I'm not coming. I have a 1.5-year-old at home that doesn't need to be exposed to that. So I'm going to go hunt somewhere else. So called a friend of mine who I'd been archery hunting at that lives over in East Bethel, and asked her. Her name's Lisa. She actually owns a whitetail deer farm, Whitetail Country Scent. She raises whitetails for the scent to bottle and sell to hunters. I said, hey, do you mind if I shotgun hunt out back behind your place? You know, obviously not in the deer farm, but beyond the deer farm. Can I come out and hunt out there for shotgun, since I'm not going to be rifle with the guys that I would normally rifle with? And she said, absolutely. So I sitting out there Saturday morning, first time I've ever shotgun hunted for a deer. I've always, like I said, I've always been a rifle hunter. Sitting in my blind, and I've had this particular 10-pointer on camera several times. And he was, I guess you would say he was my hit list buck, my one buck that I wanted to harvest out there. And so right at 8 o'clock, he comes walking in like it was nothing. Just walked right in, didn't even care if my blind was there. It had been sitting out there for a couple weeks, so he was obviously used to it. But pulled the shotgun up. Actually, at the time, my left butt cheek went numb from sitting on my stool, so I stretched out my leg. And as I'm standing up, I got one of them new 360 surround blinds that you can see through all the walls on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to look, and there was, as I looked up, he was standing right there in front of me, 25 yards broadside. So I grabbed my shotgun, crouched down, and stuck the barrel out the blind and let one rip. He did that lurch forward and kind of did the rodeo bull kick, so I knew he was hit hard, but like I said, not ever shotgun hunting. He took off and ran, and I lost him, and he fell. I saw him fall, but then after that I didn't see him, but I heard thrashing, so I wasn't sure if he was down or what exactly. But so I gave him some time, being an archery hunter, I know. You know, let him lay, and then figure it out after that. So waited about a half hour. I was way too antsy. Got out of the blind. Started following blood. And as I'm peering across this little pond, this pond's probably 20 yards by 10 yards, peering across the pond looking for antlers, body, anything, this little pond surrounded by tan, tall sawgrass, there's one little spot that was black, muddy. And I look, and I was like, is that an alligator laying there? Sure enough, there's an alligator.
Oh my God.
Alive? Was he a live alligator?
Yep, 100% live alligator in this pond. Now, that morning when I walked out there, I heard thrashing in the water. And I know that there's a, you know, ducks go in there every once in a while and hang out. I had a muskrat actually come into my blind from there 2 weeks ago when I was archery hunting.
That's fine.
So I know that there's a muskrat in there.
Not anymore. But
I would have never,
not anymore.
Never gotten an alligator.
Yeah.
So this this was in East Bethel?
In East Bethel, yep.
Where in East Bethel?
It was behind the Whitetail Country Sense is the name of the lady that has the deer farm there. It was behind her place in a swamp. She's west of a gas station called Cooper's Corner.
Yep, I know exactly where that is.
So basically like right on the edge of Bethel and East Bethel.
You saw an alligator in the state of Minnesota in the pond. I always thought they needed salt water or something. I could be wrong. I guess maybe not. They're in swamps all over the place in Florida. So did you shoot it right away? What was the plan here? I mean, did you put the bottle of brandy back in your jacket or what?
Yeah, so I walked over, found my buck. Well, actually, hold on. I called the farmer. And I said, hey, Lisa, there's an alligator in your pond. I shot my 10, but there's an alligator in your pond. And she just couldn't believe it. What? Are you serious? Kidding me? Nope. And, you know, we went, had that fun banter back and forth. Like, really? Yes. Really? Yeah. Are you sure? Yep. So
I don't blame
her. She came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I thought it was a rubber alligator. At first, somebody was pranking me until I saw it move. So she came out, with her granddaughter and we looked at this thing and kind of formulated a plan. And I said, well, all I know about catching alligators or killing alligators is from swamp people on TV.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, shoot them, Elizabeth.
Shoot them.
Whatever. Shoot them. So we ran, not ran. We walked back to the house after we'd found my buck, walked back to the house, up to the farmhouse there. I left my shotgun. We grabbed the .22 and walked back out there, and he was still laying in the water. He, she, whatever it was still laying in the water. And so I was like, well, I'll try and noose it, you know, or lasso its neck first and pull it up on shore.
Crikey.
But the rope that I had wouldn't sink. So I saw where he was at in the water, and I just reached over. He was only a foot from shore, foot or two from shore. So
now
I
let me
over
ask.
The,
hang
the
on a second. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Did you have any concerns that shooting an alligator would be illegal in the state of Minnesota?
Oh, so sorry, I left that part out. Actually, so I called the deer farmer, and then immediately after that, I called the DNR, and I said, "Hey, I have an alligator in front of me. What should I do?" and they said, "Go ahead and pop it. It's an invasive species. It's not supposed to be here. Just go ahead and get rid of it." And I said, "Okay, sounds good."
Corey, was that surprising to them? Have they heard anything like this before?
You know, so I did, I spoke with a couple news agencies today, and there was one last year found in Prior Lake on the lake shore, I guess. It was dead, but a little girl had found it. And then I've also heard that somebody has been finding them in Brainerd recently. I don't
really?
Know. I just heard that for, you know, through the grapevine. I don't know how true that is, but obviously this one wouldn't have been from Brainerd.
Yeah. I wouldn't think
so. No, not at all. I mean, so the hearing from the DNR, hearing them say, go ahead and take it, I was confident with them saying, go ahead, it's an invasive species. And you know, obviously on social media, it's blown up. I think there's 5,000 comments and 45,000 shares, I think, already.
Oh, fun. That's awesome.
This time when I posted it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was my biggest concern, I guess, was, is it legal to shoot it? And I asked them, I said, or do I need to wait for you guys to come and deal with this? And then that's when I was told, go ahead and shoot it.
So that was a heck of a deer that you shot as well. And it's one you've seen on your cameras. That's good for you. You know, timing is everything. That's a beauty. So what do you plan on? You're going to mount that, I'm sure. What are you planning on doing with the alligator?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a picture on Facebook of me holding the deer with the alligator in its antlers. So I talked to a taxidermist, and I thought about maybe doing something like that, or I might do like a low sneak pose where the deer's looks like it's drinking out of the pond, and then the alligator's coming up to snap its nose.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's not a huge alligator. It's 3 foot, tip to tip, nose to tail, 3 foot exactly. So it's not like it would do a lot of damage to a deer, but I just think it would be, you know, something different, something out of the ordinary. I like different taxidermy.
Maybe you should do a full mount and have it going after its ankle or something.
Yeah, biting them.
I'll tell you what, if you play this smart, my guess there's a taxidermist out there who will do this for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And for his own promotion, let him keep it in his store for a couple of months a year or something like that. I think you should hire me to work this out. But
yeah, absolutely. We can figure something out.
Well, I'll tell you what, Corey, that's a fun story. And thanks for taking the time to share it with us, because it's rare. And what we like to do on the Four Outdoorsmen is laugh and learn. Boy, keep on hunting out there. Are you going to continue? Now, that was with a shotgun. Are you still going to hunt with a bow or something after the?
Yeah. So I still have a tag left. I harvested one with my bow last week, actually. But now I might either wait till muzzleloader season, just so I can prolong my hunting season, or I might still sit out this week, try and get one more with the shotgun, and then just call it quits before it gets too cold out. You know, I don't want to say I'm getting old, but I'm starting to almost become a fair weather hunter.
Yeah, I'm with you. But hey, the fact that you harvested this animal instead of killed it means you voted for Biden? Really? I'm just kidding. Yeah,
no, sir.
Hey, Corey, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. Hell of a story. We're fun to share it with the rest of the world as well. Be safe out there, will you?
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. You too.
Thanks, Corey.
That's a fun story.
Yep.
An alligator in East Bethel. Wow.
I thought it was southern Minnesota when I first looked at it, and I didn't know it was so close to home.
Yeah, I remember.
I'm going to start checking my ponds.
That's a great story, yeah.
I wonder if he's going to try to eat it. Would you try it?
I've had alligator meat.
At the state fair?
At the sportsman's dinner.
Oh, they had
the Wildwood
there.
Lions sportsman's dinner, that was about 4 or 5 years ago. Someone brought alligator, and honest to God, tastes like chicken. It was.
I've had it at the state fair. Did you ever go to that shack in the state fair?
Oh, no, yeah. I never.
By the
have.
Corn on the cob.
Oh yeah,
probably wouldn't, considering I didn't know where. Like, if it was like a pet, like what it was being like fed. You know, you don't know what. It's like this. They took.
You're
it to
a
the,
purist, huh?
They took.
You only eat alligators that.
I only eat natural, organic alligators. Well, you think about it. Like, why would it be released? Like, what if they took it to the vet and was like, yeah, it's got this disease. It's got the COVID. So they just released it, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody had to have that thing, and it wasn't right there. I don't know if they brought it to the pond or what.
They're out there right now, like, here. Yeah. Here, Lucy.
Pinchy.
Yeah, it's Daddy.
Dragging a whole bunch of dead fish with him or something like that. But
here they don't know he's famous now for being shared 45,000 times dead.
Oh. One more deer story. Ready for this one? Got a couple minutes, right?
Born ready.
Which one should I tell you here, boys? How about this? Oh, I'll tell you what. Everybody, my son Mike is, I love my son Mike dearly, and I hope you listen to Mike. He's avid hunter and fisher person. He's been out hunting with Mike, with Mark this year as well. But when he first started deer hunting up in Ely, Minnesota, he's one of these guys that was really, really serious about the scent and all of that kind of thing. And I think at this time, and correct me if I'm wrong when I see him, Mike, but he would have put all the scent on and hang his clothes outside and whatnot, and he would literally pee into a pop bottle, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And but then he'd light up a cigarette. I could be wrong on that one, but my old man smoked all the time in the woods, and my dad got more deer than anyone that I've ever met, including all of my in-laws and uncles and all that. My dad was the most successful hunter up there. And one time I was up there by myself, and when I was younger, my late teens, early 20s, we had wool clothing, heavy wool red clothing, but they had these big game pockets in back. We probably had 20 pounds worth of clothes on. If it's raining, it's just so heavy. But I'd have sandwiches. I'd have a thermos full of coffee, a rope, knife, compass, I mean, all kinds of things. And I was on a ridge one time, not having any idea where I was. Look at the compass and just keep on going because there's no roads or anything. And all of a sudden, I've got to go to the bathroom. So I have a cup of coffee, set it down. I do my thing, and I'm drinking a cup of coffee. And right next to me, within 20 feet, a buck walked right up next to me. It was so close, I had to shoot it from my hip. I couldn't miss. And it wasn't a big deer, but I got him from my hip. And I'm drinking coffee and just went to the bathroom. I'm not sure when they're in rut if scent makes any difference whatsoever.
Yeah, they got one thing on their mind.
Drinking coffee and taking a leak.
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose that's about it. Yeah. Hey, had fun, huh? I'll tell you what.
Let's thank our sponsors quick.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you, Cats Covers, BK Outdoors, Power Lodge. Get down to Power Lodge while you still can. Get in the next model. McKay's Dodge.
Yeah, McKay's Dodge. Speaking of coffee, Operator Coffee. You're sitting in the deer stand. Try some Operator Coffee.
Clam Outdoors and Devil's Lake Tourism.
A lot of fun on the Four Outdoorsmen. Talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening. In the meantime, our buddy Mark's got something to say.
Get outside and make some memories.
Stay safe.